Backseat Producers, episode number 76, A Few Good Men. Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Adam.
And this is Tony. No, he's not here.
The energy level has gone down considerably.
We've got him locked in a room.
Yeah. He has business to do for us.
He's working on Archon. We've got Archon coming up at the beginning of October. We've gotten confirmation on a lot of the stuff we're doing there. And it's huge. We're big time.
Oh yeah, panels. There's even talk of a pool party that may happen.
It may.
Mm-hmm.
There's been rumors of a wet T-shirt contest. So we'll see.
And then my favorite is we'll be playing clips of movies, the scripts.
Uh huh.
And then having the contestants read them to my wife, who'll be all naked and out and stuff.
I'm not sure. That may have been a dream you had.
I came over last Friday. We were planning out our stuff. She was on the couch. And I'm like, hey,
that
you want to do this? And she's like half asleep. She's like, what? Yeah, I guess.
she agreed.
Yeah, we're talking scenes like the ending scene to There Will Be Blood. You know, super romantic things.
Yes.
To the tune of romantic comedy. It's going to be brilliant.
That is going to be genius. We're going to have a blast.
It's going to be so much fun.
So we're doing, three panels.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Three panels, a workshop.
Three panels, a three-hour workshop.
Yes.
And
the game show.
The game show.
/ party, / movies, trivia.
/ debacle. Whatever, yeah. Debauchery. Wrong word, debauchery is probably more along the lines
of. We're looking
at
having it in the hotel so we can drink heavily while we do this. So
they're like, well, you can do it in the convention center. We've got plenty of room for you there. And it's open till. And we said, is there alcohol?
Yeah.
No. Then you know what?
No distractions.
We will take anything at the hotel.
Yeah, no kidding.
If nothing else, we'll do it in your room.
No kidding.
All right, so yeah, Archon is October 3rd through 5th. Mm-hmm. It should be a lot of fun. We're going to have a good time.
Yep. We put some stuff up on the charity block, the charity auction.
Yes, we did. And actually, it will impact the podcast.
Yes, it will.
Because we're throwing out a DVD of our whole catalog of the podcast, which mm-hmm. is something that we're going to do new this for this. We're also donating a guest host spot on mm-hmm. the show, and somebody is going to get to pick the content for one of our episodes.
Yep.
So it could be
those are the three things. Go out there and bid on them because they're all awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I think you actually have to come to Archon to bid on them.
Do you really?
I don't think they're online
can't do
bids. I don't think. Okay. I mean, I don't know if they have that set up. We'll have to ask.
It's okay. Anybody doesn't go to Archon.
That's true.
There's so many negatives in that sense. I don't even know if it was right, but you know what? I don't care.
That was non heinous.
Yeah. Non heinous.
That's a throwback to the Bill and Ted
That's
show.
Right. You know, weird things are afoot at the Circle K.
And you know they've changed all the CFMs around here to Circle K's
That's
now?
Awesome.
That is hilarious. We drove past and Julie points that out. And I just turned around and said, strange things are afoot at the Circle K. She just turned around. She's like, you're such a dork.
That lady in the van over there said that Genghis Khan God, that movie was so funny.
That was wonderful. All right, so this week we're going to talk about A Few Good Men.
Yes, we are.
And next week, let's go ahead and throw it out. Next week, we're going to talk about
The Count of Monte
The Count
Cristo.
Of Monte Cristo. So
now I saw the original one, the old one with Richard Chamberlain.
You know what we need to do? We need to find a restaurant in St. Louis that serves Monte Cristo sandwiches.
What are they?
It's just a sandwich. I don't even know what all's on it. I found a restaurant that serves a Monte Cristo hot dog. It's ridiculous. It's like
locked away for a long time. And then two hot to revenge.
Okay, wait. After you hear the description of this thing, I'm sure you'll think that. Take two hot dogs, cut them, bisect them, lay them flat. So it's four dogs across. He puts like strawberry preserves on it and cheese, and I think you kind of fry the whole thing and with an egg dip on it. Yeah, it's completely ridiculous, but
every part of this sounds like I don't want it.
Yeah, I know, but I figured it would be kind of cool to be eating a Monte Cristo while we're talking about the Count of Monte Cristo.
And then have to stop the recording because we have to run to the bathroom because of the Monte Cristo.
That's either stopping because of that or stopping because somebody's got to run to the bathroom to pee after all the beer they've drank.
Well, that's true. That's most episodes, actually. That's
most of them, yeah. So,
A Few Good Men.
A Few Good Men.
I envision this being a short episode.
Okay. I think if we're going to talk just about the movie, yeah, I think it could be a very short episode. I think there could be more to talk about.
This is going to be the spoiler
section. In light of the current politics and that, I think there could be more depth to it. But we'll get into it and see.
Right. High level review of it. I thought it was a good movie, but I didn't think it was exceptional. To me, an exceptional movie usually is clever in some way.
Okay.
Like, I thought Juno was an exceptional movie because it was clever, because it bucked every single trope of the teenage pregnancy movie.
Right. This is a courtroom drama.
Yes.
I mean, flat out, it is a courtroom drama. this is also pre 15 years of Law and Order on television and numerous courtroom drama movies and television shows. So it's got, for someone seeing it for the first time like you, you're seeing...
There's a lot of history there that I'm looking through.
you're seeing what was for the first time at that point. You've seen all of the people redoing it badly after it.
Yes.
Because the courtroom sequence in that movie was, I mean, for me it was great. Mm-hmm. It did some of the best courtroom stuff. Having been in a courtroom, sitting on a jury, there was a lot of the stuff that was very true to how a courtroom operates. I'll say overall, my high level review is I enjoy the film. I really like it. I think the acting is top notch.
Yeah, I thought that was the strength of the film itself because the story is really simplistic.
Yeah, well, the story is, and if you take it back, and I didn't know a lot of this until I a couple of weeks ago when we decided we were going to watch the movie, I said, okay, get the Netflix. I haven't seen the movie in a long time. I've seen the movie probably at half a dozen times at least. But it's been a number of years since I've seen it, so I got it on Netflix, and I thought, okay, if I'm going to watch it again, I'm going to watch with commentary.
Because I
know the dialogue. I know all the movie. So I watched it with...
the director's commentary?
Yeah, the director's commentary. Rob Reiner.
Yeah.
Who I think is a great director. Does some really good stuff. This movie is no exception with that. This was a play. This was Aaron Sorkin had written a play.
Really?
Yeah. This was a play first and became a movie. In the spoiler section, we'll talk about it a little bit because
there
was some parts in the play that when they were making the movie, they said the play actually had some huge plot holes that you can get away with on stage in a play.
Right.
In a movie, you really can't get away with it because people are going to rewatch it and criticize it a lot more and be a lot more critical. So we actually had to clean up some of the plot holes and add scenes here and there that absolutely weren't in the play at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, so that was pretty interesting.
Because it was very character driven, not
Oh, absolutely.
Very story driven.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the characters are very strong.
Right, which is
really strong characters.
How a play should be.
Yeah.
Review for Melina from the couch as she fell asleep during the first 5 minutes. She's like, this is much less impressive now that I know what all those legal terms mean. I was like, okay.
So the plot, a summation of the story. You've got a young soldier is killed. He is given a what is called a code red, which in non-military terms is a hazing. Yeah, he is a less than desirable soldier in the eyes of his fellow soldiers. Mm-hmm. He doesn't run as fast. He's not as strong. He is the weak link in the eyes of his fellow soldiers. And so through that, they decide to give him a hazing. And this hazing takes the form of shoving a cloth in his mouth.
Right, where they duct tape it to his face,
beating him, pulling it out.
I thought they were just going to shave his head.
I don't remember.
They were going to do something that was non-violent.
Or yeah, it was
There was no murderous intent to it.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they take it out. Something happens, and he dies.
Yeah.
There are two soldiers who are charged with murder. Mm-hmm. They claim that they were ordered to give this soldier code red. And the implication is, well, the coroner, the military coroner, decides that it's a poisoning because apparently he thinks that they soaked the cloth in some kind of poison. Therefore, they poisoned him. That was what made it murderous, and not that it was some freak accident. So that's sets up the whole story in the past. That's all old news.
Right. That's all happened by the point the movie starts.
Right. The main characters in this movie really the main character in the movie is Tom Cruise's character. Mm-hmm. He's a young soldier. He's not really a soldier. He's in a JAG Corps.
Yeah, he's a young lawyer.
Yeah, he's a young lawyer who used his who used the military benefits to pay for law school, and he's serving his time in the military to pay his dues, as it were.
Yeah, there's a whole daddy complex issue with him too.
There really is. Yeah, he's got a father who is apparently a brilliant attorney.
Was
yes.
Yes.
Because he's not among the living anymore. No. And he kind of lives in daddy's shadow. Mm-hmm. And daddy
because,
was a,
yeah, I think every, like,
he was a brilliant litigator too, and he was a brilliant courtroom lawyer.
It's one of the first things that everybody says
and
to
him. Everybody knows him.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody from the colonel in Guantanamo Bay to, you know, I mean, everybody knows who this guy was. So apparently he's brilliant. I mean, he's really well known.
That was Jack Nicholson's best line of the movie.
Yes.
How's your dad? Well, he passed away 7 years ago. Well, aren't I the asshole? Perfect.
Yeah. Jack Nicholson in this movie is just brilliant. He
everything
is
he does
completely
is
on his game.
Yes,
there. He's just so Jack through this whole movie. It's perfect, and he plays the character just to a T, with the swagger and the ego, and just phenomenal performance. Yes. Crude in many cases.
Yes,
But I mean, that's kind of the nature of the character, yeah. Demi Moore's character is—I can't remember her exact position, but basically, she wants to make sure that this whole thing goes down right.
Right. She's an internal affairs worker, and so her job is to make sure that the lawyers do their job,
right?
Which is Tom Cruise.
Yes. Yes. The Tom Cruise is the lawyer for the defense, and Kevin Bacon is the prosecuting attorney, for lack of a better term, because it's not really. I don't think that's really how they classify it, but
it's whatever was prosecuting.
He's the prosecuting court martial. some of the other actors in this movie, you got Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah. He was looking freaky.
Yeah,
like when his hair is short, he has an oddly shaped head.
Yes, yeah, he was just creepy in the movie in general too.
Yes.
He was a little Jessup. Jessup being Nicholson's character.
Character, yeah.
And I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy who played Jessup's second in command.
Oh, crap. That guy, he looks like freaking Russell Crowe.
Character actor, he's an amazing actor. He is no longer among the living either.
Oh.
But yeah, I mean the actor is not
good.
He's a great actor. He was just wonderful in that performance.
Yes, I agree.
Noah Wiley from ER was one of the young soldiers. He was the one that drove him around the first time they went to Guantanamo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he ended up testifying at some point.
Yep, I remember. Yeah, yeah. That's where I knew that guy.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Noah Wiley from ER.
Yeah.
Kevin Pollak. I was going to say Sidney Pollack, but that's not right. It's Kevin Pollack. Completely different guy. Demi Moore. I mean, everybody in the movie was fantastic. The judge, the guy who played the judge, that guy.
That guy.
Yeah, it was another character. Another character.
That's the guy they based the judge really and Family good. Guy on, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I think he even does the voice for that guy.
He very well could.
That would not surprise me.
That'd be cool.
It would be cool.
So... I mean, that's the basic plot.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise is trying to get these guys off,
right.
trying to show how they didn't do it or how they were ordered to do it. These guys are young Marines and are very much gung-ho young Marines.
Mm-hmm. Tom Cruise isn't exactly all gung-ho about getting them off.
No, Tom Cruise, his whole deal is that he's gonna get
a plea bargainer.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go to court. He's not going to go to court.
He's never been to court.
Right. Yeah, I mean one of the first scenes in the movie where he's in a courtroom, he kind of turns around at the end and goes, "Huh, so this is what the inside of a courtroom looks like." But if he wouldn't have made that joke, somebody else would have,
right.
Just because that's the reputation the character has.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other funny things that ends up coming up a couple of times through the story is the opening sequence. He's plea bargaining for a soldier who apparently purchased some oregano, thinking it was pot,
yeah,
and smoked it. Yeah, and they tried to get him on drug possession charges, and his argument was, he might be stupid, but he's not.
Yeah.
He's stupid enough to smoke a bag of oregano, but it's still not pot. It's still not possession.
Yeah, that opening scene was funny. Because he's just completely ignoring the prosecuting attorney.
Yeah.
He's out there playing softball. He's like, dude, you were supposed to be there 20 minutes ago. And he's like, yeah, I'm coming.
Right. I think most of the other stuff I have to say is past the spoiler.
Yep. I totally agree.
So I think we'll just kind of call this off here, make this first part of it short, and I think we'll get a little more meaty at the back half. More than half. We'll see. All right. We'll take a quick break.
In a world where knowledge is power, in an age where time is the most valuable commodity, in a voice that's killing my throat, comes a podcast that will bring you wisdom in less than 1 minute a day. So join me, Martin Darkley, as we journey to enlightenment. Our teachers, classic lines from cinema history. Come then to moviemantras.com and begin a voyage to a higher state.
And we're back.
We are.
And we're going to spoil this some bitch. All right.
Jack Nicholson's guilty.
Jack Nicholson is awesome.
The whole movie is set up for that scene.
You're well, right. Absolutely. I mean, the whole movie is that scene. And one of the interesting commentaries about that I picked up from Rob Reiner's commentary, he talked about shooting that scene. And if you look at the way the scene's shot, it's shot from a couple of different angles. Apparently, they shot it in like two full takes of doing the whole sequence.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But Jack, I mean, Rob Reiner basically said, you know, Jack, you don't need to do all the lines. It's not a big deal. And Jack says, no, you don't understand. And, you know, his Jack, you don't understand.
Yeah.
He said, actors only get a few chances to read parts this good and read words this good. I'm going to read it twice because it's that good. And I mean, he was just such a geek for the role that he just felt the need to act that scene out twice because it was just so powerful.
Yeah, and it's good. You can even like the way that they shoot him when he delivers the lines. He's got the crazy eyes going.
Oh yeah,
he's full on like frothing and crazy, and it's like, whoa, this is
good. You're goddamn right, I did.
that's good.
Yeah, I mean, Jack has some of the best one-liners in this movie. Mm-hmm. We'd have to put an explicit tag on every one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
He's dropping the F-bomb. He's talking about oral sex. Yeah. He's, you know, just. Everything's going on.
This was a great role for him. He's a great character, just in general.
And nobody could have pulled that off quite the way he did.
No, I don't think so.
And one of Rob Reiner's commentaries after Jack's first, I'll go ahead and throw it out there. We can bleep it or leave it. I don't care. Rob Reiner says nobody says fuck quite the way that Jack Nicholson does. Just watch it. And he kind of stops and lets the scene play out, and it's one of Jack Nicholson's first F-bombs in the movie. Wow. And it's just so natural.
That's awesome. So, yeah, I thought great A acting from Jack Nicholson. That whole ending sequence with him and Tom Cruise. I even looked past the crazy.
Yeah, and Tom Cruise is a fabulous actor, and this movie is one of the movies that if somebody says, yeah, Tom Cruise is just a hack, I got to point to this movie and say, come on.
Because he didn't come really from somewhere.
You really can't say that with a straight face and look at this movie. I mean, he's looking at the acting around him in that courtroom. Mm-hmm. You have to... You can't not be a good actor and stand up to Jack Nicholson and make that scene come off
he did. Just the playoff of each other in that scene alone, because Jack is on his A game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, totally. And if Tom Cruise wasn't on par with it, it'd be noticeable.
Oh, yeah.
The whole scene would just fall apart and wouldn't be believable. But as it is, it's Jack Nicholson is an arrogant prick, and Tom Cruise tricks him into giving himself up.
Mm-hmm. And he's totally terrified. Believable. And he's terrified the whole time he's doing it.
Yep.
Great. One of the great scenes in the movie is right before he gets up and questions him, he turns around and he's standing at the table and he's pouring the glass and his hand's just shaking. Mm-hmm. And if you look, his hands are just quivering as he's pouring the glass of water. And it's, I mean, you can see that he's doing everything he can not to just upchuck right all over the table. Because he's terrified. He knows that this is make
the
or break.
Rest of his life. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a moment that was going to define his career, period. Mm-hmm. For good or ill.
Yep. And then the I hate celebration scenes in movies, but the celebration scene in this movie was that kind of 15 seconds of as soon as Nicholson says, you're damn right I ordered it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you just see the triumph on Tom Cruise. Cause it's just like,
and he's amazed. Yeah. He doesn't think he's going to get it.
Just total stunned, and then it just fades into it. He's like, yeah, we should probably get the jury out of here because he's not going to incriminate himself further. That was awesome.
Well, and then he says that, and they turn around to Kevin Bacon's character, and he is just speechless.
Yo, yeah,
he's just like, he can't just even speak. He's like, yeah.
That was great. So that whole ending, the rest of the movie though.
See, the movie drove toward toward the end. It really did, and it was a series of character studies that drove toward the climax.
Yep.
But it, I think it also had a lot of depth in the different layers of some of the characters. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you had some different archetypes that within him. You had Jessup, the soldier who, like you said, I'm the guy that stands on the wall.
Right. I'm the guy who gets it done when you don't want to do it.
Right. And
you're the person who thinks that I'm despicable for what I do, but you need me, and you
exactly.
know it.
Exactly.
You never want to say that.
Well,
and that was good.
And see, and that was explored throughout the movie, especially in the relationship between Demi Moore's character and Kevin Pollak's character.
Uh-huh.
Because she very much supported the ideal of the Marines, and he very much did not.
Right.
And it wasn't so much that he had a problem with the Marines, is that he had a problem with what happened to the guy who died. Because
mm-hmm.
he looked at it simply as picking on a weaker person.
Right.
And it wasn't incorrect. You know, and that was one of the things I really liked about this movie, is everybody had their opinion, and nobody was really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them were more gray.
Right.
But in their mind,
they weren't off.
Okay, let me put it this way. There were characters that did bad things, but in their mind, their motivation was clear, and it made sense, and it was a good and pure motivation
right.
in their mind at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think makes for really brilliant storytelling in this, because everybody thought they were in the right. Everybody thought they were doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Though Jessup thought he was doing the right thing, he still knew he had to cover it up.
Right.
And he still worked to cover it up.
And he knows that playing the game was part of doing the right thing, which worked,
yeah.
but...
But he was also biding his time for the big political position,
right? Because he was just about to get promoted to something.
Yeah,
I don't remember what.
Yeah, it was a major promotion, and it was a Washington promotion.
I don't even
basically.
Think it's the same thing anymore.
It might not be. Another interesting thing about the movie is that there is a portion of it that's set in Guantanamo Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I would venture a lot of people didn't know what Guantanamo Bay was, where Guantanamo Bay was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At the time.
Yeah, what is it? That's a 90s thing. That's not a now thing.
No. It's another thing that at the time it was, wow, we have a base on Cuba? How exactly does that work? Rob Reiner said he actually went to Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And went to Guantanamo. Those scenes where they were at Guantanamo is not Guantanamo.
I didn't think
no, they were not allowed to. He said it was a very surreal experience, though, because where they talk about their mirror.
Oh, right. The two towers that are on either side of the
Yeah,
house.
They're on the either side, and he said that's exactly how it is. He said, you're close enough to where you can see the look on that guy's face. And he's on the other side of that wall.
Right.
And you know that his job is to make sure that you don't do anything
right.
to shoot him, because he will shoot you. it's the most weird and surreal thing.
If somebody tries to kill him, you try and kill him right back.
That's right. You have permission. You have my permission to kill him back if he kills you.
Yeah.
Kill and kill alike. Random death is good.
Random death is good.
So...
My issues, let's see. Demi Moore? Mm.
You know, one thing I liked about this movie is you had a lot of sexual tension between those two characters.
But there was no romance.
There was no romance, and there was no payoff.
Yes.
I loved that about that movie. I have loved that about that movie since the first time I saw it.
That is actually my preferred type of romance, because they do the same thing in Stargate SG-1. Like, they set up the whole thing with Samantha Carter and Jack O'Neill.
Uh-huh.
And, like, there's one episode where they have to tell the truth under this device, and like they get in huge trouble because they remember this scene wrong, and then they're like, oh, we know what the problem was, and then they ask them the question again, they're like, well, what happened? I cared more than I should have, and then they never mention it again. Like, ah, that's awesome.
Nice.
God, I love that.
Nice. Yeah, that's the one thing I loved about this movie, and Rob Reiner even speaks to the fact that they said they were very deliberate about that.
Mm-hmm.
So they very deliberately wanted to build that sexual tension, but not pay it off. said there was no place for it.
The payoff is Jack Nicholson. That was the sexual release
exactly.
that I needed.
That was the screaming orgasm at the end.
Crazy eyes.
And then him getting hauled out of there at the end, just screaming and frothing.
Oh, yeah, that was the best one. He lunges at Tom Cruise.
Oh.
I like that every discussion we have just ends up back at Jack Nicholson at the end.
The whole movie ends up at Jack Nicholson, though. I mean, there's nothing wrong. Like
all roads lead to Jack Nicholson in the end.
The two young soldiers.
Mm-hmm. The two people accused?
The two accused. Loudon, Downey, and...
It was a D and a D.
Yeah. I can't remember the other guy's name. One of the two, there was an African-American guy and a Caucasian guy. Mm-hmm. And the Caucasian guy played kind of a simple...
Right.
I mean, he was a soldier. Mm-hmm. But you could tell that's about all that he was capable of. You know, he wasn't very educated. He mm-hmm. wasn't... He's not a smart man. You know, he very much a Forrest Gump kind of character.
Yes.
And then there was the other guy who did kind of know what he was doing.
Uh-huh.
He was a lot more aware. It was all for the core. You know, he knew what he was doing. And he knew that he was right. Mm-hmm. That guy, the African American guy, had never acted a day in his life.
Really?
Yeah. There was a scene at the end. There's a scene at the end that he just owns, where he's
leaving, and then he salutes Tom Cruise.
Well, it's even before that. It's when Tom Cruise is talking to him, and he just goes off on Tom Cruise.
Oh yeah.
They said that was like the last day of shooting, and they had worked with the guy for months trying to get him to be able to act to that point. And they said we weren't sure he was going to be able to pull it off.
Mm. No, he brought it,
and he was awesome.
Yeah, he brought it.
It was a phenomenal performance.
Yeah, he got real pissed. It was good.
He stood up to Tom Cruise at that moment, who then stands up to Jack. So, and again, we're back to Jack.
Back to Jack. That's the Back to Jack cast.
That's right.
Oh, crap! Oh, I hope nobody takes... I gotta bleep that out. I hope nobody takes that name. Lord knows I don't know the podcast.
Oh, yeah. So the idea of it itself, I mean, you've got soldiers in a position where, mm-hmm. where I mean, at the time, we were not in a wartime conflict. At the time, I would venture that there was a lot, this was considered a gray area kind of movie, do those guys have that right to do whatever they want behind the wall and you know what goes on there?
I was about to say, I think in light of the current climate,
and then
a lot less of a gray area then than it is now.
Well, I think now we actually have a different take on it. Looking at like a character like Jack Bauer from 24, okay. who. I mean, every week you'll see him, you know, grab a terrorist and torture him and beat him and do whatever he can to get the information out of him. Where this is a different era. And that kind of thing would not have been stood for. In quite the same light.
Yes, I agree.
And Guantanamo also wasn't a prison then either. Which is another, I mean, it's another... You know, huge difference in Guantanamo itself.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that I guess the movie means something different now, but yeah. I'm still not all that impacted by it. It was too, I guess, simple. I like a big reveal at the end.
You didn't think that was big enough at the end?
Why? I knew that. You know from the outset that Jack Nicholson is guilty.
Yeah, but it's not what it's about.
Well, I realize
it's not that he's guilty. It's about
pinning the guilt on
right.
him.
Right. It's not what
is proving the
what
guilt.
Tom Cruise says. It's not what I know. It's what I can prove.
Right. Exactly. So I mean, I guess I was surprised that he got nailed, but it seemed a little disingenuous that he would just give himself up that easily. But because that's one of the first things that he says when he takes the stand. He's like, I am educated, but I can't read your mind.
Mm-hmm. So. A couple other behind-the-scenes things, mm-hmm. since I'm thinking about it. There was a scene when they're at, in Guantanamo, and they go to look at the dead guy's room. Completely added for the movie. That was not in the play. It's where you see Tom Cruise see all his clothes.
Right, not packed.
Not packed, which ends up having a bigger effect later. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a major plot point that ends up coming up later. I want to say, another thing that happens is, I can't remember the guy's name now, the Jessup's second in command, that guy who disappears. He disappears and then comes back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jessup's tie.
Yeah. I'm in.
He leaves and then he comes back and he gives Tom Cruise the information. Uh-huh. Apparently, it doesn't happen quite that same way in the play.
Really?
And he kind of shows up, gives him some information, and then disappears.
Yeah, I kind of wish it never comes back way in the movie too.
I don't know. I kind of liked how it happened because
the suicide seemed really disingenuous to me too.
Oh, see, I thought that was brilliant. I thought that was a really good character moment because I really bought it from that character. Especially really? The way they set that character up earlier in the movie.
I didn't. Because I didn't understand the whole, like, he gets in the back of the car and he tells Tom Cruise, he's like, listen, I don't want immunity, I don't want any of that, I just want the forgiveness for what I've done. I want the right to win.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I want the truth to come out.
I want the good guys to win.
Yeah, exactly.
And see, he thought he had given them enough to do that.
But he didn't give them anything. He gave him the plane.
Which should have been enough. Which he had enough faith in Tom Cruise to say, look, that's enough. You don't need any more than that. Uh-huh. That's what I can give you. You don't need any more than that. Anything beyond that, I'm going to hurt you.
Uh-huh.
I mean, his continued existence would have done nothing to help them anymore.
Right.
It could have only hurt them. Because he could have come out and said a lot more. It could have implicated him in some of it.
Right.
And ended up saving Jessup in a way. It depending on what he says.
Right.
So he does what he feels is the noble thing. And he puts his, you know, he sucks on the end of his
I thought that he took the coward's way out. Because the note that he left, he's like, listen. Because he wrote it to his parents, and he's like, your kids will be in jail because I wasn't strong enough to sit on the stand.
Yeah.
How was that the noble thing?
I don't see it as cowardly, because I don't think that man would have put his dress uniform on if he would have felt it was cowardly. I think he would have just... I think he would have just done himself in.
Right.
I think he...
Because he wouldn't have deserved to wear the uniform anymore. Yeah.
And it could have been just by writing that letter, that was his retribution. That was his penance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I have penance. Now I'm forgiven. I've asked for forgiveness, whether they give it or not. I've done it.
Right.
Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Nice effect, too, where he shoots himself and they fade it right into the lightning crash. Coming back to Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Bam. Then he shows up drunk.
One of my favorite things. He does some really cool stuff with that character, too. Like, the bat. I need my bat. Where's my bat? I can't think without it.
You know what amazed me about that scene where he comes in drunk? He's dripping wet when he walks in, and he doesn't get any drier for, like, the 10 minutes he's in the house. He never gets any drier. He's still sopping, dripping wet. It's like, whoa.
Wow, it's realistic.
No, it's not. It's
is it too much?
It's too wet. It's like, you know how when you pour water on fabric, the water kind of sits there, and when you... Yeah, it was like that the entire time.
Oh, there was another thing that I'm blanking on now. Oh, it was in the courtroom.
Uh-huh.
And it was the scene where he's questioning Noah Wiley's character, and they're asking him, you know, show me in the Kevin right. Bacon's character says, show me in the book,
where
Code Red is. He's like, it's not there. Rob Reiner said, Tom Cruise's whole part there, that was completely ad-libbed.
That's awesome.
That was an idea Tom came up with.
That's cool.
He's walking back, he grabs the book out of his hand, he says, show me where the mess hall is.
That's
you know,
cool.
It's not there, you just know where it's at. So, it shows that, you know, the level of bureaucracy mm-hmm. isn't complete. There are things you just...
Right. You just know.
Take for granted, and you know.
That's a cool bit of trivia. That's interesting.
Yeah. I think that was most of the trivia that I had for it, that I garnered from watching that commentary. All in all, this is a movie I can watch over and over again. I really do like it. I love, and I can watch it over again. It's the kind of movie that if I'm flipping channels and I see it's halfway through, I'll start watching it from wherever it's at. Uh-huh. Just because I know what
I know
what my payoff is at the end.
Yeah, it's a good payoff.
And you know, if I have to watch half an hour to get to the last 10 minutes, I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. I'm completely fine with that. If I have to watch an hour and a half to get to it,
I'd watch it again. But some time's gonna pass.
I can see that. So, I think you're right. I think this is gonna be a short episode.
Usually I am. Who knew? That's good, because I'm tired.
I think that's all. I think that's all I got.
Yep.
All right, so next week, Count of Monte Cristo.
Next week, Count of Monte Cristo, and we'll see you at Archon. I'm giving you the I'll see you at Archon eye.
Awesome.
So.
And hopefully we will even have t-shirts by then, too.
Ooh. The t-shirts are really clever and
yes,
really
they
funny,
are.
And I already announced what they were on the podcast.
That's awesome. I'm hoping if we do the pool party, I want to get some of those other t-shirts that I mentioned to you.
Yes.
And we'll save those. Did you mention those on the podcast?
That might be the one that I mentioned instead of the other one.
Okay. Well, either way, we're teasing it up, yep. So.
Tease.
Hey, if anybody's interested in t-shirts, let me know ASAP because yes. I'm ordering them. If you have any special shirt size requests, let me know so I can try and get them in to the initial order. Otherwise, it's going to be a take what you can get until we sell the first lot, and then we'll work on getting some special size requests. But keep in mind, there's at least one or two people associated in and around the podcast that are going to need real man size shirts and not the puny XL. You know,
I don't know what you're talking about, Chief.
So we will probably skew some of the sizes toward a larger...
I'm actually thinking about ordering a baby tee. I got to get something for the what t-shirt contest.
There you go. It's a stretch on.
We're going to wear it as a sports bra.
You got to get a signed picture of that and send it to T. Morris.
Oh, that's awful.
All right.
In other news, T. Morris is no longer talking to the Baxi producers.
No kidding. All right. Have a good one. See you next week.
See you.